Before I stepped away from the microphone yesterday, I told you that I was going to be speaking from the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And I asked that you would reacquaint yourself with this chapter and be prepared for today's lesson. The book of Revelation has intrigued every person that has ever read it. Every man, woman, or child has been intrigued. Every preacher and teacher that have expounded upon this book has been intrigued. Everybody wants to know the future. People travel many miles just to hear somebody tell them how it all would end. Even our Lord's disciples, they wanted to know how this thing was going to end. They had found someone that gave them peace and safety, someone who loved them, cared for them, someone who had told them about a kingdom that he was going to establish. They had gone through a lot in the last month or two. They were there when the soldiers came and took Jesus prisoner. They were there when he was crucified. They were there when all of the tragedy took place. And now they were ready to get on with the kingdom building. But when I look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, I find that when they were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power." It wasn't for them to know the times or the seasons. You know, there are just some things that God does not want us to know. He told his disciples before he left them. He said, "I have a lot more to say to you, but you're not able to bear it now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth." Jesus knew there were some things that they were not able to bear. God knows there are some things that we are not able to bear. But at the proper time, in due time, in God's time, we will know it all. In Deuteronomy, apparently there were some people in Moses' time that just wanted to know everything. "Moses, when are we going to get to the promised land? Come on, Moses, tell us something." And in Deuteronomy 29 and 29, Moses says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." We read in Revelations 1 and 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. There's one group of believers who believe that the prophecies of Revelation has already been fulfilled. They look at the phrase, "things which must shortly come to pass," and they think, it's been hundreds of years. It must have already taken place. But listen to what Peter says. "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day." God's time clock is not synchronized with our time clock. God's calendar is not aligned with our calendar. God does things his way. Even his math is a lot different than our math. Listen to what Leviticus 26 and 8 tells us. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. It tells us that 5 would chase 100. By our math, by the way we figure things, by our logic, we would say if 5 would chase 100, then 100 would chase 2,000, because 100 is 20 times more than 5. So therefore, 100 could chase 20 times more than 100. God's counting and His math is all different than ours. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. In fact, His ways are past finding out. The book of Revelation is declared to be the revelation of Jesus Christ. The method of interpretation is varied. Hundreds of volumes have been written on this book. None of them is satisfactory because of the many opinions concerning its meaning and teaching. As I mentioned earlier, one group believes that the prophecies of Revelation have already been fulfilled. Another group believes that the book contains a forecast of world events. And then there is another group, group number 3, who lay stress on the spiritual element of the book and do not attempt to dogmatize upon the meaning of the details of the vision other than what John received. This group believes that there are passages that are clear in their spiritual teaching, and these that are more mysterious have truths that are instructive. There are some of the visions that are veiled to the point that it is futile with our present knowledge to give any positive interpretation of them. The book of Revelation deals with 2 time periods, the time in which John was living and a time in the future. This book is often neglected because of its mysterious character. The book of Revelation is the only book that contains a special promise to those who read and obey. Revelations 1 and 3 tells us, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." At the same time, it pronounces a curse upon those who tamper with it. Revelations 22 and 19 tells us, "If any man shall take away from this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." I'm going to stop the lesson right here, but tomorrow I'll be teaching from the book of Revelation some more. I will not be trying to interpret the book. I just want to teach what it says. God says, "Blessed is the man who reads and keeps the things that are written therein. Blessed is the man that hears the words of this prophecy and keeps the things that are written therein." I'm going to read it. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to keep the things that are written therein. I'm going to be blessed. I don't have to have a Greek dictionary to get a blessing from this. I don't have to have a Hebrew dictionary for this to speak to my heart. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was good enough for John. It's good enough for me.